President Bush described himself last week as a Republican Democrat. That's Democrat with a small d. When we talk about small d Democrats, it's almost always in reference to people in places like Russia or Iraq, not to Americans. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg says the president's comment signaled a revival of the word in American politics.
Political language is a matter of artful reinterpretation, neutralizing the words your opponents have used against you and making slogans out of the ones that everyone takes for granted. Take President Bush's use of the word Democrat in his remarks on the recent Palestinian elections and the Iraqi elections on January 30th. As a Democrat, he said, as a person who believes in democracy, a Republican Democrat, I might add, as someone who believes that everybody has a right to live in a free society, January 2005 is an extraordinary month. Of course, small d Democrat isn't exactly a rare word, but nowadays we tend to reserve it for people in places like Russia, Iraq, or Ukraine, where the system of government is up for grabs. When we describe Americans as small d Democrats, it's generally in a purely social sense, when we want to praise some aristocrat for a seeming indifference to class distinctions. A couple of weeks ago, the New York Times reviewer of a posthumous collection of George Plimpton's essays described the writer as a Democrat of the First Order. It struck me you could have said the same thing about Rodney Dangerfield, except who would have bothered? That's pretty much the reason why Americans rarely bother to describe themselves as small d Democrats in the political sense of the word, to mean somebody who advocates democracy. That's supposed to go without saying. But until the 20th century, Democrat was a charged term in political life. In the age of Jefferson and Jackson, Americans were still aware that the word had been borrowed from French at the time of the French Revolution, when the idea of rule of the people could evoke the alarming echoes of tumbrils in the streets. And at the end of the 19th century, William Jennings Bryan still saw a clear connection between the small d and big d senses of Democrat and Democratic, both of them opposed to words like plutocrat and aristocrat. In fact, Bryan often used the word democracy as a synonym for the Democratic Party itself. It wasn't until the 20th century that the word democracy became part of the American rhetorical wallpaper, stripped of most of its connotations of social and economic equality, this around the same time the phrase the people ceased to evoke the common man. In fact, nowadays the phrase economic democracy is only about a tenth as common in the press as it was in the Roosevelt years, and nobody uses it in political discussions for fear of calling up phrases like income redistribution and class warfare. And once democracy was safely disconnected from its more egalitarian implications, it no longer conjured up the specters of mob rule and despotism that made writers like Kant and Burke so wary of the word. It's simply a symbol that creates a sense of unity without connoting much of anything specific. As Walter Lippmann put it, it's one of those words that assemble emotions after they've been detached from their ideas. The bleaching of democracy made small d Democrat irrelevant as a political label. When an idea is universally accepted, you don't need a name for its adherents. Of course, the big D sense of Democrat persisted, but only as the name of a political affiliation that had no more independent meaning than old party names like Whig and Tory. That's what allowed the Republicans of Hoover's era to start referring to their opponents as the Democrat Party. The point of that was to suggest that there was nothing particularly democratic about a party whose support was based in urban political machines. But Republicans couldn't have gotten away with a maneuver if the earlier meaning of small d Democrat hadn't already faded from the public mind. By the mid-20th century, Democrat Party had become a routine partisan jab for Republicans, though nowadays it probably has less to do with undermining the Democrats than simply irritating them. Bush uses the phrase in campaign speeches, though he doubtless avoided it in a State of the Union address. In fact, it's such a partisan tick that I'm always a little surprised when I hear Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity talk about the Democrat Party on Fox News. I'd have figured they'd be more circumspect about tipping their hands. But now it's as if Bush himself is trying to redefine the phrase Democrat Party in a more meaningful way, as a name for his own political affiliation, Republican Democrats, as he puts it. What he actually means to suggest is that the true Democrats are the ones who see the elections in Iraq as justifying the administration's policies. Of course, some people might argue that Bush is using Democrat in a rather selective way, particularly in light of the other regimes that the administration has supported. Democracy may be on the march, but it seems to have a pretty restricted parade route. But there's this to be said for the way Bush uses small d Democrat. It pulls democracy itself down off the mantelpiece and puts it back on the table for chewing over. Once a word becomes a partisan rallying cry, it can't continue to function as an object of uncritical universal veneration. It's as the 19th century historian Walter Badgett once said about the notion of royalty. Once you begin to poke about it, you can't reverence it anymore.
Jeff Nunberg is a Stanford linguist and author of Going Nuclear, Language, Politics, and Culture in Confrontational Times.